Hey guys, welcome back to Tom Girl here at AfterBuzz TV. We are on episode 14, and today we're talking all kinds of things fitness with two amazing women. I have Jennifer Dietrich and Paula De Ocampo. She's going to say that better than I did. Stay tuned.
Fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
A little strong girl anthem here for my two strong girls in the house. Hey guys, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. Go ahead and introduce. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Go ahead and introduce yourselves, because I know you for sure will say your name much better than I did. And say the middle name too while we're at it, just because it's beautiful. And then your Instagram where people and Twitter where people can follow you at.
Okay, my name is Paula De Ocampo. My Instagram is plantbuilt_Paula, PAOLA.
Jennifer Dietrich. My Instagram is Jennifer_Dietrich and Twitter Jen Dietrich.
Awesome. I'm so excited for you guys to meet these guys because these are two women that are in my life and that have trained me and that I just love. So I wanted to share them with all of you guys too because they just have such amazing stories and careers. And if you're looking for personal trainer, fitness, Pilates instructor, listen to their stories and then you'll be able to, if you're in LA, you'll be able to find these guys too and work out with them. All right, well, let's first start out with, Jen first, we'll say, so you are a personal trainer, health coach, jiu-jitsu, I'm going to have trouble saying that all day, gum competitor, and a sponsored athlete. So just a few things.
Yeah.
And Paula, you are a personal trainer, Legree Fitness. And that's the Pilates that we do. And also bikini competitor as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to dive into more about all those things later. But first, I want to just start out talking about the early days and like where you guys grew up and how fitness or sports or activities played a part or didn't play a part in your childhood.
I grew up in Pittston, Pennsylvania. It's a small town in between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. Or as Scranton we say from back there, Scranton. And I started when I was 12. One of my sister's friends slept over the house, and she started doing flips in the yard. And I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. Where can I go to do that? And so I started, which 12, of course, is considered late for gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I, like, lived, breathed gymnastics all the time, even when it was summertime. Of course, it's freezing there and it snows, but during the summertime I had my parents leave the swing set up, just take the swings off, because I was the age, you know, didn't need the swing set anymore, and I would practice bars on there, you know, flip in the yard. And then during the winter I would just do more strength and conditioning in my bedroom. I even loved that part. I was like the only kid, you know, to do 75 push-ups, and I'm like, what else? Yeah. Or some of them would try to be, you know, skipping it, and I loved it. So then after I graduated high school, I was looking for something else to do because I loved competing and loved gymnastics. And like I said, unless you start really young, you know, at a private gym, then there's not much more to do after high school. And so that's when I looked into fitness competitions, and I started those. This is before the internet, and so there was very little information, and then it's not like here, there's not a lot going on in fitness where I grew up, and so then I just started college, because it wasn't around here where it's like, oh, you could pursue this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And wasn't the information, as I said, for me. And so I went to college, and I was going to go into kinesiology, but got talked out of it for a good reason if I was going to stay there. There wasn't much work. So I went to be a biology teacher, and I taught biology and anatomy and physiology. So I was always fascinated with the human body. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that far off, but I always had the fitness thing in the back of my mind. And then I ended up moving out to California when I was 26. And I taught high school for 7 years. And then I always wanted to be doing what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, it's now or never. Mm-hmm. And started competing again. The fitness died down. And that's when I got into figure and then bikini competitions. The physique is a little bit bigger in the figure and fitness. And it was suggested to me to go into bikini when it was brand new. And I was very weary about the whole model walk because I didn't do anything like that. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll give it a try. And so then I turned pro, and then I left teaching and started my own personal training business. And that's when I got sponsored by HMB. And so it kind of all fell into place. Then I got a little bored because I was used to training for a scale a few years later. And then that's when I started jiu-jitsu, which was 5 years ago. And I still currently compete in jiu-jitsu, 10th Planet under Eddie Bravo.
I think we have a couple of those pictures too. Pictures of you competing. There's a bikini shot. And I think maybe some jiu-jitsu.
We're scrolling through them.
We're
as
scrolling.
We go.
Oh, no, okay. So just
you
stay
train with
them.
Eddie Bravo?
Yes, I do.
How crazy is he with conspiracy theories? I listen to him all the time. Does that affect your training?
Wait, no. He talks about them at the beginning of class sometimes, but not as much anymore. I know he puts a lot out there, but he's a genius. I'm very lucky because people come from all over the world to come train with him, and he's here. So I was very lucky to start, you know, training under him and been training under him the whole time.
Did your education in biology help you in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. Gymnastics actually helped me most in jiu-jitsu. Sometimes it hurts it a little bit. But with my balance and base, that has helped from gymnastics and mainly the body awareness. Knowing where your body is, and sometimes there's different moves where you are kind of flipping and upside down. So some people have never been upside down in other sports. And so that has helped a lot. The part where it hurts that I work on is with gymnastics, the apparatus doesn't move. And you're always doing the same thing. So you practice a routine, and just like the bikini competitions, you practice that over and over and over and over and over again. And then that's what you do that day. So with jiu-jitsu, it's always changing. It's kind of like the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. And like going with the flow.
Reacting. Yes. In the present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was what I had to work on most.
And that is also, guys, you're hearing Jimbo in the booth, who always has the best questions too, Jimbo. Good job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Paula, let's hear a little bit about your background before, then we're going to dive into the competition stuff some more.
Yeah. When I, growing up, I did pretty much what typical 80s kids did, you know, just played out outside, roller skating. I got into ice skating for a little bit, but I was never really athletic. I never joined any, you know, structured sports or anything like that. Although I used to, we had one fitness channel on cable television. This was like back in 1991, 92. And, I got so into, this guy named Gilad, who used to teach, you know, just aerobics. He would just have an aerobics routine every morning. And I would sometimes play sick just so that I could stay home and do my little Gilad workouts on television. So that was pretty much, that was the extent of my, of anything fitness when I was growing up. By the time I reached high school, when puberty kicked in, I was not doing well physically. I was just eating a lot with no guidance. And yeah, years later, I ended up in a sedentary job. It was good money. I liked it. It was in health information. So that's where I first started looking at anatomy and physiology and thinking, wow, this is really fascinating stuff, you know, what the human body is capable of. So that's where fitness kind of started for me, is just that interest in the human body. And but I stayed in that career for about 10 years before I finally said, you know, I want a job where I'm not sitting down all day, like 8 to 9 hours a day. So I looked into personal training, and I thought, yeah, why don't I just try it out? So I attended the Equinox Fitness Training Institute, and within the first couple of days, everything I learned was just amazing to me. So that is pretty much how it started for me. And then also deciding to go vegan, that helped a lot. Even though I was a junk food vegan for probably the first year, I found that I had so much more energy. So that got me into the gym, doing more cardio, more lifting, and things progressed from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we met because you teach at Pilates Plus, which That's if you guys right. haven't tried it, I totally recommend it. Definitely, it totally changes your body differently than running or doing, you know, lifting weights. Can you talk totally. About how your different exercises that your different sports or programs that you do change? Give you different
yeah,
effects.
Yeah, totally. Legree Fitness is great for, especially for people that have to work around injuries, just because it's no impact. It gives you that cardio where your heart rate's up, but you're moving slowly and you're trying to figure out why is my heart racing? It's because there's cardio going on. You're working on your slow twitch muscles. Which kind of help, you know, tighten you up and slim you down. So that's what Legree Fitness is really good for. It's really popular with celebrities, actors, actresses that want to slim down for certain roles. Lifting, on the other hand, is all about muscle growth. And that's something I really, really love doing, especially as a bikini competitor. Mm-hmm. So that works on more of the fast twitch muscles. It's super challenging, you know, to lift heavy. But it's also something that I enjoy more than anything just because you get to lift heavy stuff and go home. Instead of, you know, getting on the cardio machine for I don't know how many hours, you know, to try to burn off some fat.
Yeah.
It's lifting does more than you think,
she
you know,
works
in terms
very
of
hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's she talk about this dynamic because you train Paula for the bikini competition.
Yeah, she's my coach.
Yeah.
And she's like the ideal client, by the way. But I thought that she definitely did sports because usually if there's somebody that does sports, they're always very dedicated and work very hard. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Galab did something there. I don't know. But I was like, talk about her delts too. And that's how she talks about the Galad. And I'm like, there's definitely something there. But she works so hard. Anytime there's anything where she asks a question and I say, well, this is what you need to do. And she's like, well, I'll find time to do that. Or I'll work at doing that. When it's like, well, when somebody's ready to like say the excuse, she knows there's always a way around it.
Yeah,
so there's
right.
never any excuse or but this or but that.
Yeah. yeah.
She and just doesn't. It works hard.
Yeah. And I first found her because I was looking for a posing coach because, you know, I was able to get into bikini shape, bikini ready shape, but I had no presentation skills whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'd been on the stage before because I studied theater, you know, but I didn't know what to do. So I found her through a figure competitor. And so she first was coaching me through posing. And then I think it was a year later, I said, you know, I really need to step up my game in all areas. So I contacted her and let's see, you coached me through my 2014 competition. I won that. She coached me through my competition this year with my plant-built team. I won first place again.
That's
all her. So
she's great. Yeah. She is great though with her posing. She didn't need much, but I tell people to always get at least one because even if they have modeling background, when you watch it, it just looks like you have your hand on your hip.
Uh-huh.
But the body's all twisted and contorted a certain way to make your physique look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to learn that.
Okay.
And so that's why, like when she hired me, because now she does a lot of that part on her own. She does very well with the presentation part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are those? I had a whole list of questions for those people out there who are interested in going into this type of stuff. Because, like, I see it and I'm like, oh, I can see the muscles and I know. But, like, I don't know nothing that goes into, like how many months prior did you start start working out? What's the training? How many hours a day? Kind of, can you guys give us more details of what path you went through for this?
Well, the training is all the time. Because I used to do it, and you lift 6 days a week, and you're basically making your body as balanced and proportioned and symmetrical as possible. So you may put extra emphasis into certain body parts to be able to bring them up, and then by just doing that, you automatically are getting leaner. You want to do it year-round, hardcore, to make the changes, so then you're not the same everyone. But then leading up to it, is when there may be extra cardio, and that depends on the body type, extra cardio, and when the nutrition changes.
So, and how do you change, what changes in the nutrition?
Basically, there's definitely no extra junk at all.
Yeah.
And
very hard.
That's the hardest part, because when people talk about it, it's like the training's easy, but you need to be very disciplined, and it's like making all those meals, like 6 meals a day. Mm-hmm. That's the part that would be exhausting.
What are the types of the foods that you are eating? Lots of
she's vegan, so I'm not. So when I would eat it, the protein would come from different fishes, chicken, egg whites, and eggs. Yeah, and then the carbohydrates, brown rice, quinoa, yams, oatmeal, and then coconut oil, olive oil, avocado for the healthy fats, peanut butter. Mm-hmm. So just be combinations of those, a little bit of fruit like berries in the oatmeal, and then when you get closer to, that's when you may change up the ratios and cut down. Like I said, there's a drastic difference between competitors. If you talk to two competitors, mm-hmm. depending on their body type and how it responds,
yeah,
there's some that, like both of us, will have considered a lot carbs throughout and most of it. Like I've, mm-hmm. with my training, I've never gone like a whole day with no starchy carbs at all. And there's some people that are doing that for like a few weeks prior or very mm-hmm. little.
Yeah.
So it all depends on where you're coming from. But the main thing is like the food gets real bland, because mm-hmm. you can't have, especially at the end, the extra sodium. You don't want to have the extra sugar. So you're just having that right. over and over again. So I always joke, mm-hmm. I'm like, avocados taste like cream cheese. Like everything, yeah. you know, because your palate changes. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. yams mm-hmm. like taste like candy. I'm like, oh, this is so sweet.
Mm-hmm. But I love that. I love that you can appreciate the food right. in its natural state when you're that, you know, when you're eating that healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what are the types of things that you're judged on in the show?
Well, go ahead. Do you want to go?
You would know better. Well, you're the pro.
Well, no, because the different organizations may be slightly different, mm-hmm. but it's symmetry, proportion, overall presentation. Your suit, tan, and makeup and hair come into play.
Yeah, your complexion.
So, and I've actually talked to judges, and some of them actually say we judge from the neck. Some of them only the neck down, and then some of them say like the whole, you know, the whole body, because it's supposed to be about physique. But then some of them you hear, oh, they like the hair long and more sleek, and this one likes, you know, so that mm-hmm. does, you know, you don't want to do all this work and then come over and your tan looks a mess. So I'd always want to make sure that I'm getting spray tan by the company that most of them are. Because then if yours looks great, but then it's a little off compared to yeah. the other one, you're the odd man out. And same thing right. with a suit. You could get yeah. suits. I've gotten suits before when I did figure. And then on stage with the bright lights, it would be like a medium aqua, and then it looked light blue, mm-hmm, and you yeah. don't know how it's going to show up with the tan, because the tan is super, super, super dark.
Yeah, it is. How long does that tan stick around?
Depend on the company.
Yeah, up to 2 weeks, I would say. Yeah. And like by the third day after competition, it's like you're splotchy and
Do they have one with a good smell to it? Because that's always the key to
no. it's yeah. not the best smelling thing.
That's the other thing that I always say. It's like you see the pictures and you look all glamorous.
See, look
but everybody smells terrible because you can't use deodorant with a spray tan.
Because
it turns it green, like, and you, the chemicals.
So. And you can't shower once right. the first coat is on. Right. You can't touch water.
So nobody showered. Nobody has deodorant on.
Yeah.
You just have I always feel like my face feels like a cake on it. Like all the makeup, because it's, the thick foundation.
Yeah,
because it's like,
stage lights
disgusting.
Wash you out, so, yeah.
And does that get all over your sheets and all over everything when you
sleep? Oh, it does.
Yeah.
The host hotel, because I've competed all over, they make you bring your own sheets and towels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet, because they would just ruin, you would ruin the sheets in the hotel. Yeah. Even think about that.
But yeah, those details really count. Mm-hmm. The makeup, the tan, all that. Not just the physique.
Right.
Yeah.
But that, even though, I would like that it would be just that. Or I used to, you know, say mm-hmm. that. But the bikini also is very, it's a lot more subjective than the other ones. It has gotten leaner over the years. But mm-hmm. it's a lot more subjective because they they do want you to be a certain leanness, but not really too lean. And it's not as cut and dry as the bodybuilding. Right, the other ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you watch it, and that's why, like, I told her, I tell anybody that I've coached, I'm like, don't look at anybody backstage. You never know. You see this girl with this, like, great physique, and it's like she's going to win everything. And then you see the pictures, and her posing might not be that great. And then you'll see another girl, and it's like, eh, I don't have to worry about her. And then all of a sudden you see the pictures. It's like, how'd she make her body look like that?
Yeah.
And so it's like the combination, and that's why I tell them, when you look at pictures of other people or posing of other people, like, oh, this girl won, so I should look to see what she did. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a combination.
Yeah.
She may not have the best, you know, she's the best overall. But it doesn't mean she has the best suit necessarily, or the best physique, or the best posing, or the best makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely up there, but her combination was the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long is the actual, the day, is it over a couple of days, or is it just...
It feels like a really long day, the day of, because there is, there are two separate shows.
Yeah.
There's what they call pre-judging, which is the show where you actually do get judged, and then the evening show is when they present the awards. So it can be a very, very long, long day where there's a lot of waiting backstage, a lot of eating your rice cakes and peanut butter and just waiting. And then there's also, you know, all the time prepping leading up to that, the day before. If you're in a natural bodybuilding show, there's usually a polygraph test involved so that, you know, they can make sure that you're not on any anabolics. So it's quite a process.
Was yours the same day? Like pre-judging and finals?
It was the day before.
No, for pre-judging and finals?
Oh, yeah. It was the same day that last
competition. That's what mine usually is. There was one that I did where it was two separate days. They did it one on one day, one on the next day. But it is long. That's why I was like, because anything else I've competed in, you just compete once. Like this, you technically do it twice. Yeah. You do the same thing twice. So you're up early all day, and then you get a little break.
And the posing is kind of a workout, you know, like you can come back kind of feeling sore in your back from, you know, just trying to pose so that you look, you know, aesthetically pleasing for the judges and all that. So it takes a toll on you.
Oh, yeah. I was way more sore than which, you know, after I compete in jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Well, because you're moving. I always say the body needs to move. So when you're moving, it's like fine. You may be like worn out and a little banged up, but that... The way you have to pose and you're all contorted, like the body's not supposed to be like that, and you're standing on stage for a long time.
And you're in heels, too,
and you're
right?
In heels,
and smiling all the time.
So my back would always be killing me. The first thing I do is like take off my heels and just curl up.
Yeah. What are the tips to posing, unless you don't want to share your secrets?
You don't have to. You'd have to take a workshop.
Yeah. they have videos on them. It's just I always describe it as if you're in an invisible square, your hips need to face the front right corner, and then your upper body needs to face front, but you can't move your hips, so you're kind of turning from the ribs up, and then your one arm needs to be straight out too, the other arm dangling, and your hand needs to be like dead hand if it's like too stiff. That's like the main thing. And when you're walking, the walk is important.
And it takes a lot more practice than you'd think.
Because I always say you don't walk like a normal person. It may look like that because everybody's like that. But it's this extreme posture.
Yeah.
That would look obnoxious if you were walking like that down the street. Yeah. But it doesn't look, you know, as much like that when everybody's like that. But you see the girl that didn't take a posing class? She's walking like a normal person, but then it looks like she's walking like this.
Yeah, on stage it doesn't.
Because everybody else
present
is so,
well.
Yeah. Extreme. That's why I go like this, because it's like chest up. Feel like you're a string pulling you up. Yeah.
You have to cut weight.
You have to be lean. It has nothing to do with weight.
So there's no classes or anything like
height.
Okay.
There's height classes. At pro, there wasn't any. There's age. They have the age differences, and but you just have to be a certain leanness. So weight doesn't matter. Ideally, we want to weigh more since muscle weighs more.
It's really more the body fat that you want to get rid of, not just the numbers on the scale.
Yeah.
But, like, is there a weight count for, like, a competition where you have to be under a certain amount so you weigh in?
No, you don't weigh in at all. The bodybuilders do, because they have different classes, like, of the size, so they have a weight, but we just need to be a certain leanness.
So are you calculating your body weight that... your body fat then throughout, or
when I'm prepping and I get out to maybe 4 to 6 weeks, I'll start measuring my body fat with calipers. Mm-hmm. But mostly I just look in the mirror. You know, yeah. I do the ab check, because mm-hmm. usually that's a signal that your body fat's going down if you can start seeing, you know, your muscle come out. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just eye it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, earlier on when I first started competing, I didn't know what to go by. So I would just, you know, use the calipers and I would weigh myself, and that was a terrible thing to do. I learned my lesson. Yeah, standing on the scale is not a good idea. Ever.
I agree.
Ever. It's about how you fit in your clothes, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, for competition, it's measuring the body fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always tell my clients that as well, about the scale now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, but I one time I did it out of curiosity a long time ago, but I always say also with the body fat testing, they say the underwater weighing is the most accurate. So some of them are not that accurate. So you could actually measure yourself, and then you could go down like a percent, and then it's off by a percent, but so then it wouldn't show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because not all of them are 100% accurate, so that's why the mirror is best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if you're going to measure your body fat, you want to do it with the same method every single time. Otherwise, you're not really getting an accurate reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it that you guys love most about competing in these?
Well, when I first started competing, it was really just so that I could fit into skinny jeans without having a muffin top. That was my goal. I just wanted to, like, I wanted to measure up to these women on stage that looked totally awesome and had, you know, curves, muscle. I always liked that look. Mm-hmm. And after I achieved that, you know, throughout the years, it's really become more of an art form. You know, that fascination with what we're capable of, mm-hmm. the fact that you can sculpt your body to mm-hmm. make it look exactly the way you want it to just by what you're eating and what exercises you're doing. Mm-hmm. You can totally change your body. So, yeah, that's what I love about it, is just, you know, what's going to come up in the next show? What am I going to develop more? What am I going to see mm-hmm. when I look back at those pictures? You know, I'm working a lot on, we call it the glute shelf, because I want to set a drink on it. So we do a lot of glutes and hams mm-hmm. when I see her and she kicks my butt. Tomorrow morning, first thing, she's kicking my butt.
Me too. What time are you?
She's first thing.
Oh, you're first thing. I'm 8:30. Oh, my God.
I know. But no, but that's why I went to you, because, I mean, obviously in Pilates, I was like, I mean, you're beautiful, you know, and then I know when you were doing the, when you started working with her for that competition, I just, as being in your class, could totally see the way that your body was transforming and the muscles. Yeah. And for me, like, I love that, because it's like, it's one thing to be skinny, but I think for a lot of us, that's not like our whole goal, or we don't want to just be skinny. Like, I think it's right. So much more attractive to have the muscles and the strength. And so when I went to her, I was like, I want to be like Paula. Like, she just got,
yeah, she was like, you want a muscle.
And I did say, and Carrie Underwood's legs. But like, can we combine? Can we do everything? Right.
Because I was like, what do you want to work on? She's like, whatever you're doing with Paula.
Yeah. It just make me look like her. Yeah, because I know, I think with a lot of girls, you know, and I've always heard this all the way through sports, that some people are afraid to lift weights, or they don't want to get huge, or they don't want to look big, you know. But yeah. I think it's a perfect example of, you're not, you know, it's the way you sculpt and build your body, too. There's the perfect way to do it, where you have just that nice little...
Yeah, because I was the skinny kid, so I had to, like, build to get to the mm-hmm. size I am now. And that's why I always remind women that mm-hmm. you won't, you know, you're not going to get too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've gotten that a lot with clients, you know, is this machine going to bulk me up? Is lifting this much weight going to bulk me up? And mm-hmm. it just can't. It can't. The bodybuilders that, you know, women bodybuilders that have that kind of mass, they work really hard for it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it again, it's in your eating. It's in the method that you're using. But yeah, that's such a common myth.
Yeah. I mean, because mm-hmm. I already had a skinny frame, so it was harder for me to build muscle. But when they say that, and I think, like, you know, me lifting as heavy as possible 6 days a week for years and years on end, and mm-hmm. eating what I need to put on muscle, and how hard it was for, like, over almost 10 years to put on like a solid 5 pounds of muscle. And, you know, because that's how it is. You have to put in that much work. It's not like, you know, we're going to gain a lot and then them thinking they're going to get too big.
Yeah, and it's happen. And it's also and I just want to get people away from thinking that they have to do cardio for hours and hours on end, because the more muscle you have, the more fat you're going to burn. And you know, I still sometimes hold on to some of that conditioning. Like
that's very common.
Yeah, and that's why Coach here always reminds me, you know, you can lift. You can lift really, really heavy and not do any cardio and you'll be fine. And it's true. You know, I mean, of course,
that's for like the prep, the contest prep. Yeah, she'll add it in. But besides that, you know, because I always tell people it's a threefold. It's like just having the more muscle, you're going to burn more calories. But if you do an intense session working out, you actually raise your metabolism way longer than cardio one. And then when you're sore and the muscles are healing, that's burning more calories. And then again, just at rest.
And she will get you sore.
She has me grunting and moaning and...
My mom, I was like, after I met with her, I had a tiny little step at my house and I was on the phone talking with my mom as I walked in from getting out of the car, and I'm like, I didn't realize I even did it. And my mom was like, what are you over there grunting about? I'm like, oh, I'm like, I'm so sore.
I'm like, but it's a good sore. It feels good, but it's sore.
Anyway, and how how much do you guys enjoy sharing like what you know with other women? Like Paula, I know you post a lot of things on Instagram, a lot of inspirational messages, and even post, I think, for your 39th birthday, you're like
38.
Sorry.
Not ready for that yet.
But just like the difference of how you look now versus then, and not being afraid of the numbers and the, you know, so just talk about what it's like for you guys to empower other women and share the things that you know.
Oh, I love it. I love sharing the fact that, you know, I love my before and after pictures because my before pictures were from when I was a teenager. You know, I wasn't the popular girl in school. I felt chubby all the time. I went to high school on a college campus. So, I mean, there was Panda Express and Taco Bell and I just went nuts. So, you know, to go from that, from eating, you know, pound cake every day and all that to where I am now, I love sharing that because I still know people that struggle with that. And I like letting people know that you can feel good. You can look as good as you want just based on what you eat and exercise.
Interesting that you say that. So I thought that was more recent because being a teacher, when I would see all that junk like on campus, I was like, this is what they have for the kids? I didn't know they did then because where I grew up, that wasn't even an option. You couldn't even get soda. It was just the standard lunch. It literally was homemade. And then you get milk or chocolate milk. And, you know, that was our only option.
Because I wasn't I went to the performing arts high school here in LA. And so their campus was on Cal State LA. And college campuses have, you know, all that fast food stuff. And there was a McDonald's down the street. That was my foundation. My parents, I love them, but they didn't, there was no guidance there, you know. I mean, they didn't have the information either.
That makes a big difference, though. Like, when you're at school, like, teenagers aren't going to be like, what's the healthy option?
Of course.
Most of them don't do that.
I want to know.
Unless the parents are,
I want to know what's the sweetest thing to stuff in my face. And, you know, nobody told me that I couldn't. So that was a struggle. And that's why becoming vegan, it made me so much more aware of what I was putting into my body. And that's, you know, it was for ethical purposes first. And then it turned into, wow, I have so much more energy. And what can I do with this? And it's been a journey. Because I'm not as great as she is. I can't, I mean, she's on the go all the time. And I, like, you know, I will go through phases where I'll be sitting watching Netflix, binging Orange, you know. And that could turn into months. So I still struggle with that.
I tell her it's a process.
It definitely is. It's a process.
With everything. And I just, when I started competing, that was the good thing just about health and nutrition in general. Because when I started competing, you get so used to it that if I eat something that's unhealthy too often, too many days, I feel sick. It just doesn't feel right. And so, you know, it's more about I just feel better now. And then as you get older, you know, I feel like, especially with jujitsu, to keep up with that, it's like, mm-hmm. if I am eating crappy, then I just feel like don't have as much energy. I can't train the way I want to.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to feel that rock bottom feeling of going through a box of Pop-Tarts before I go, oh, reminder, this doesn't feel good. You know, this is not where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with it maybe a month before my last competition. And so, you know, I had to get coached through that. I'm a trainer that needs
mm-hmm.
a trainer.
Mm-hmm. we all do.
It's, yeah, it's a lot different when you have somebody else there pushing you and
totally. You know, because I've always felt like I know what to do. I'm a personal trainer myself, you know, but that the motivation factor, the accountability factor is huge. And just, you know,
just the
training,
support.
Support and training with a pro who, you know, has been there and knows the struggles. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are those workouts? Do each one of you have something that you just, like, hate doing, whether it's a certain lift or a certain...
Now, with lifting, I love it. Now, with jiu-jitsu, I work on my cardio a lot, which that I don't enjoy as
not
much.
Not a cardio
person. I was never, you know, because I grew up gymnastics, and I did a little bit of track and a sprinter.
Uh-huh.
So there's never a lot of long distance. I try to do, like, a conditioning circuit. Because jiu-jitsu, the strength helps as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, a little like circuit. So I'm not just running. Like sometimes I'll do sprints or in the pool as well, but I try to mix it up. So then keeps it a little bit more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I always consider myself, an athlete that was never like a cardio athlete. I feel mm-hmm. like some people are more cardio athletes
mm-hmm.
and some not. Definitely have more of the fast twitch fibers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there aren't any like particular moves or methods that I hate. I'd say the only thing I've struggled with is learning to love running. Because mm-hmm. I've always admired marathoners, you know, the endurance. Yeah. And I just always quit. Well, if it's not my knee telling me to quit,
mm-hmm.
It's just me going, oh, I don't know. But lifting makes me feel good.
Yeah, the lifting, because I'm like, this is my favorite, and then it'll be another one. This is my favorite, and then I'm like...
yeah. I do have frustrations with being able to do a solid pull-up.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's just always been a struggle for me. So we work on that. But it's nothing that I actually hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't loathe any particular moves.
And what inspires you or what motivates you to keep pushing when maybe there's times you don't feel like doing it?
I just like the challenge. It's like, it's just boring without mm-hmm. the challenge. So that's, you know, just competing. When I was younger or now, it's just always being able to, a little bit obsessed with self-improving,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all aspects of life. So that's just one of them. And just because I did that as a kid, I think I was so fascinated with gymnastics and I was so obsessed with it as a kid. And it's just like, you know, wow, I could do this and practice this and do 100 reps of this, and then
mm-hmm.
now I could do it.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just learning that you could do that, and you just work at it over and over, and then you can. And on jiu-jitsu, I always say you're in the class with everybody, and everybody's improving at the same time, so sometimes you don't recognize it until there's somebody, you know, newer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, you have to think back or look at, like, old matches. And you don't realize, or at least I'm always like, you know, going ahead trying to improve.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just say the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's really more wanting to share with people or show people that, because like I said, I struggle with motivation. So when I really need to motivate myself, I just remind myself that again, I'm vegan for ethical purposes, and there are so many myths out there about vegans being weak and malnourished. So I like to get out there. And it was so much fun this year because I got to do it with a huge team
mm-hmm.
of vegans. But I like going out there and just breaking the myth.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can totally build muscle.
Yeah.
You can be strong. You can, you know, I was weak before. I was lazy. I was eating a lot of red meat, you know, like I was going in and out and getting a double-double every day and, you know, just eating terrible, terrible things. And, yeah, now I can get out there and go, yeah, I'm a vegan.
What are some vegan? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What are some of your vegan dishes or brands, company, you know, that you love?
I mean, I can't say there are too many brands just because it's a whole foods plant-based diet. It's a lot of vegetables, tofu, beans, brown rice, yams. I love shopping at Trader Joe's. Vega. Vega is a really delicious, they do a lot of delicious protein powders. Nice. Yeah. What else have I used? Elevate is great. They're fairly new. They just came out with a bar, and they're actually on my team as well. They have really good nutritional supplements that don't have any added sugars and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to, before we run out of time here, you also teach self-defense classes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I just started. People are asking me about it. So I feel like, I don't know a lot about other martial arts. You know, I know a few and hear of more just being on jiu-jitsu, but they say that jiu-jitsu is made for the weak man, the child, and the woman. So there's just a lot of moves that you can do where you don't need strength, and worst case scenario, being on your back, there's a submission that you could do. So a few people are asking me, so I had just started, which I'm going to do another introductory one and continue with that. Of course, help empower women.
Mm-hmm. And you're also working on a book?
Yes, I'm working on a book. I describe it as like the mental program to health and fitness. They said everybody could follow exercise and nutrition plan, but we don't, you know, it's whatever's going on. And so I, you know, break it down into the different types of personalities I feel that I've seen of why people get off track, and then solutions to them. So I'm nearing the end. It's been a long process. I'm a math science person, so the writing been challenging.
So maybe another year or so? What do you think that might be released?
It shouldn't be more than a year, but I try not. Usually I'm very hard with my goals and deadlines. That one I try to be a little, ease up on myself a little bit, because I do, you know, work on that in my extra time.
Yeah, there's a baby too. You gotta, you know, like grow, and I'm sure have other thoughts.
Right.
We are going to do a little, I do have a speed round, but before we do that, I want to do, each week here we do a Tom Girl of the Week. This one this week is actually a little bit on more of a serious note. So I would like to give the Tom Girl of the Week this week to Heather Heyer, who was the Charlottesville victim, because she just, you know, died standing for what she believed in and for trying to put love out there instead of hate in this country we have going on right now. So she is our Tom Girl of the Week. All right, we are going now to do the speed round real quick. I'm going to have a couple minutes left. So just whatever pops to your head, like quickly, you know.
Right away. So, I was like, what?
What? Your favorite cheat meal or food?
Pizza, but only from Back East in Old Forge.
Back East in
Old Forge. Old Forge pizza and ice cream for dessert.
Perfect. Fresh Brothers pizza, the vegan version of Fresh Mama's favorite.
All right. Describe a bikini competition in one word.
Challenging.
Double diddle on that. Yeah. Who inspires you the most?
I have a lot of people.
Yeah. With competing?
Anything.
Anything?
Jen inspires me.
I have a lot of, one of my clients, Bonnie Hill, probably one of my biggest inspirations. I do have a lot. I feel like I want to mention a lot of people, but Bonnie is just an extraordinary woman. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite place to work out? If there's, there's like a hike or the gym or a specific gym.
I do this hike. I used to do it more frequently, but up in the San Gabriel Mountains in Pasadena, there is a place called Echo Mountain on the Sam Merrill Trail, and I like to do that. It's about 2 hours round trip, and then if you want to go further, it goes up to Inspiration Point, and I did that last week. It was epic, about 11 miles, but it's brutal, but there's something about being out in nature that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot, but I say right now, jujitsu. 10th Planet Jujitsu, being there, I feel most calm while I'm doing that.
Okay. The next place on your bucket list to travel?
Oh, there are so many. Oh. Australia, New Zealand, anywhere in South America.
I would like to go to Italy.
Thanks. Okay. And last question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? or a big goal you have for yourself in 5 years. One of the two. Take your pick. Something you want to accomplish in 5 years.
Well, to have my book published would be one of them. Continue growing my business, do health and wellness seminars as well. Teach jujitsu as well.
I would like to... It's hard because I don't like to look at 5 years from now.
I hear you. I'm like, want to slow this year down.
I actually do have a little secret goal of writing my first novel before I turn 40. So I better get started.
Do you know what kind of genre?
If it's not some kind of a thriller, suspense novel, it might be kind of a memoir disguised. Mm-hmm. Memoir disguised as a novel.
Interesting.
Juicy. We'll see.
All right. Okay, before we take off, I want to tell everybody, too, like, anything anywhere else, like, where they could take your class or where they could... because I know on your website as well, you have people can sign up for nutrition plans or personal training from you. So just tell everybody a little bit more about where, if they want to get in contact with you or take any of your classes and stuff, they can.
JenniferDietrich.com. That's DietriK. That has all my information. You can contact me.
So you do personal training. You'll set up. You also have a nutrition program.
I have services on there because people have hired me for posing. Sometimes just a nutrition plan. Mainly it's personal training. But I have different options. There are sometimes people that just get a nutrition plan, or there's been a few online. Or just want an exercise program, but the main one, usually, personal training.
And I teach at two different studios right now for Legree Fitness, and you can find them on motivatestudios.com. I teach in Motivate Valencia now, and Pilates Plus by Legree Fitness. I teach at the one in Studio City. And for personal training, you can just find me on IG, plantbuilt_Paula.
All right. I think we're out of time for today. So I just want to thank you guys so much for coming in and spending so much fun.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Aw. And thank you both so much for always kicking my ass in your classes.
You're welcome.
Of course. So it's awesome. All right, guys. We'll see you again here next week. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.